Hello, this is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing and founder of the Genius Network interview series, and you're about to hear one of my Genius Network interviews, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this, and I hope you find it very useful. If you want to find out more information about some of the interviews and resources that can help you in your business, you can go to www.joepolish.com. And we have a Joe Polish Recommends section with all kinds of resources and vendors and services and products that we recommend that can help you in your business. And also for more useful interviews and a whole list of other people that I've interviewed, you can go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks and enjoy the interview.
Welcome to the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape of the Month series. On this tape, Joe interviews Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy is one of America's leading authorities on the development of human potential and personal effectiveness. He is a dynamic and entertaining speaker with a wonderful ability to inform and inspire audiences toward peak performance and high levels of achievement. He addresses more than 400,000 men and women each year on the subjects of personal and professional development, including the executives and staff of IBM, Arthur Anderson, McDonnell Douglas, and the Million Dollar Roundtable. His exciting talks and seminars on leadership, sales management, and personal effectiveness bring about immediate changes and long-term results. Brian is the chairman of Brian Tracy International, a human resource company based in San Diego, California, with affiliates throughout America and in 31 countries worldwide. Prior to founding Brian Tracy International, Brian was the chief operating officer of a development company with $265 million in assets and $75 million in annual sales. He has had successful careers in sales and marketing, investments, real estate development and syndication, importation, distribution, and management consulting. He has conducted high-level consulting assignments with several billion-dollar-plus corporations in strategic planning and organizational development. Brian has traveled and worked in over 80 countries on 6 continents and speaks 4 languages. He is an avid reader in management, psychology, economics, metaphysics, and history. And he brings a unique perspective and style to his talks. He is the author and narrator of countless best-selling audio cassette programs, including The Psychology of Achievement, Breaking the Success Barrier, The Psychology of Selling, Peak Performance Woman, The Psychology of Success, and How to Master Your Time. Brian is the author of Maximum Achievement, and Advanced Selling Strategies published by Simon & Schuster. Brian Tracy has produced more than 300 different audio and video learning programs covering the entire spectrum of human and corporate performance. These programs, researched and developed for more than 25 years, are some of the most effective learning tools in the world. Now let's join Joe Polish, the president of Piranha Marketing, as he interviews Brian on the telephone.
Okay, I've got Brian Tracy on the phone. Brian, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
I want to say thank you first off for taking the time to do this interview. This is going to be excellent, and I know my listeners are really going to enjoy what you have to say. And there's so many things that you know about so many successful people and traits of successful people. You're very successful yourself. And there's a bazillion things that I can ask you. But what I first want to do is just give the listeners a little idea of your background, who you are, and what made you the person you are today.
Okay, well, that's a great question. I started very humbly. I didn't graduate from high school. I worked at laboring jobs for several years. I was unemployed and on welfare just once. Mind you, once was enough. I lived in my car. I worked digging ditches. I worked on farms and ranches. And I began asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? And I began a lifelong quest for the reasons why some people are more successful than others. And I began to find the answers. And the turning point was a very simple turning point. And surprisingly enough, as I've studied over the years, I find it's the same turning point for everyone. And it goes all the way back to Aristotle's first principle of causality. And Aristotle said we must live in an orderly universe. There must be reasons for things that happen. There must be causes. Even if we do not know what the causes are, nothing can happen without a cause. And so his first principle of causality is what we call the law of cause and effect, which says that for every effect in life, there's a cause. If you can determine an effect that you want, you can trace it back to the causes of that effect, and if you duplicate the causes, you'll get the effect. And it doesn't matter if you're tall or short or young or old or educated or uneducated or a new American or someone who came over with the Mayflower. If you do the things that other successful people do, you get the same results. Now, some years ago, I met a man, Kopmeyer, who had spent his entire life studying success, 54 years. He's dead now. He wrote 4 books, each of which has 250 principles of success, 1,000 principles in all. It's his life work. The books in totality have sold more than 20 million copies all over the world in every language. And I asked him, please, of all these 1,000 principles that you've discovered in your lifetime, what are the most important principles? What's the most important principle of success? And as you can imagine, he'd been asked this question more than once. And he replied without batting an eye. He said, the most important principle of success is to learn from the experts. He said, Brian, he said, you'll never live long enough to figure it all out for yourself. You must learn from others who have already learned. You must piggyback on the knowledge of others, which is exactly the principle of cause and effect, is find out what others have done and do the same thing.
Right.
And he gave me a whole series of examples in his life where he'd been hired by major corporations to do something, and he had simply gone out and found someone else who'd already done it and asked them how they did it. And they told him, and he went back to the corporations, and he said, this is how to do it. And they all thought he was a genius. And so the key to success, if we could stop the tape right now and go home, the key to success is be absolutely crystal clear about what it is that you want to accomplish, whether it's health or happiness or wealth or anything else, and then find out someone else who at one time did not have that and now has it, and find out what they did to get from where they were to where they are today, and then do the same things over and over again till you get the same results.
So that's basically what you did when you were probably not experienced the levels of success that you had desired and wanted when you were first starting out, and you just looked for other people that you could model, and you did the same things as they did.
Exactly. And today in life, I'm very interested in the Internet because I think the Internet is basically hit critical mass and is going to be a major, major influence on the rest of our lives. And up to now, it's been developing. So now I've decided to start studying the Internet. And the very first thing I do is I get the very best books and articles by the very best people who are working with the Internet 60, 70 hours a week and just dive in. And in a matter of a few hours, you can suddenly start to have a very good body of knowledge about what's going on.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, you got to be an avid reader, and you've got to pay attention to other successful people. I mean, hence the reason that we're doing this interview right now. The listeners are learning from the expert, which in this case would be you.
Yes.
Now, what if people are a little foggy in their thinking? They don't really have clear direction on where they want to go. They may admire some successful people and see successful traits that they'd like to have in their life, but they're really not crystal clear. Could you give any ideas on how they might get to a clear direction of what they want to do when they grow up?
Yes, this is the greatest issue of all. I have now trained more than 2 million people in 23 countries, and I have the same question over and over again. How do I decide what it is I really want? And there's several ways that you approach it. The most important is to imagine that you have no limitations. We say that you should dream and allow yourself to dream and fantasize. Most people start thinking about what they want by, first of all, thinking about what's possible for them. And then they say, well, I don't have very much money, and I have all these bills and all these problems, so therefore, I really can't set any goals because I don't have any resources. And that's exactly the opposite of what successful people do. What successful people do is they say, imagine I had all the time and all the money and all the friends and all the contacts and all the education and all the resources. If I could do anything, what would I choose to do? And if you ask that question, it's the most amazing thing. You say, well, I would like to work at this. I would like to earn this kind of money. I would like to have this kind of health and relationships. I would like to have this kind of respect and esteem and position in my field. I would like to be respected by the important people in my life. You say, good. And let's start with that. There's a little rule by Somerset Maugham, the British author, many years ago. He was asked, why is it that you write so much? And he said, I write to earn the respect of the people I respect. And I thought, isn't that an interesting observation? Because most people in life do what they do in order to earn the respect of the people they respect. So a good question is to ask, who are the people that you most respect? And what sort of a life would you have to live in order to earn their respect?
Right.
And that's the most amazing thought, because people then start to think, well, this is the person I respect. These are the people whose respect I would like to earn. In a study done by the Gallup organization called the Great American Success Story, they looked at 1,500 of the most successful Americans alive today, and they asked this question, what do you consider to be success? And do you know what they said? They said, number one, I have earned the respect of my parents. Number two, I've earned the respect of my spouse and my children. Number three, I've earned the respect of my colleagues and my friends. Number four is I have high levels of self-esteem and I feel very good about myself. And number five was I've earned enough money, so I don't worry about money.
Wow, so the main things that people consider successful, at least in that survey, would be respect and self-esteem.
Yes, it's earning the high regard of other people. And as you know, in work that you've done, you start off saying, what are my values? What do I really care about in life? And so a good question we ask is, how would you live your life if you only had 6 months left to live?
Yes.
What would you do with your time? Who would you spend the time with? What would you do more of or less of? What would you get into or out of? If you only have 6 months left to live, it sharpens your mind very, very clearly and very quickly. You say, well, if I only had 6 months, I certainly wouldn't do this, and I would do more of that, and I'd spend far more time here. In other words, if you have a limited time left, you suddenly become very clear about what's important to you.
Definitely.
And that becomes the foundation of goal setting.
Why do you think most people don't acquire that level of thinking or ask themselves those types of questions?
Well, because nobody's ever taught that. I failed out of high school, but I became a lifelong student. And so I read and read and read and read and read. And when I was in my 30s, I applied for an executive MBA program at a major university. And they said, well, you don't have any educational qualifications. And I said, yes, but you said that you'd give me credit for life experiences. They said, well, the only thing we can do is we can allow you to write a scholastic achievement test, which is what high school students write, which determines whether or not you can get into a university and what kind of a university. So I sat down and I wrote the SAT. And my grades were so high that they admitted me into the MBA faculty with no undergraduate degree. And later they gave me an undergraduate degree based on life work, and I earned an MBA. So I've had several thousand hours of training. But you know something? In all my high school and all my university and all my business training, I never had an hour of instruction on goal setting. And goal setting is more important quality or skill to learn than all the other skills put together. Because a person who is very, very good at setting and working toward goals will outstrip a genius who doesn't know how.
I definitely agree with that. Well, let's talk about goal setting then and how the listeners could actually set goals and more reasons why they definitely should. I mean, it's obvious to me through the years that I've been doing personal training and being an avid reader and follower of success principles, I understand how important it is to set goals and I actually go to coaching programs to even help me achieve them better. And I teach other people through my coaching program how to do the same thing. So I'm completely sold on the benefit of goal setting. For the listeners out there that still have not yet adapted this into their business plans, into their life plans, could you give some suggestions?
I can give you several suggestions. Maybe we just talk within a framework that will help the listener. I've had many people who have listened to what I'm going to talk about in the next couple of minutes and changed their lives completely, doubled, tripled their incomes, become even self-made millionaires over time. So let me just give you a framework of what I call the four C's. Now, there are many C's, but the four C's are clarity, competence, constraints, and concentration. And clarity is number one. 80% of all success comes from being absolutely clear about what you want and then not deviating from it. Almost all failure comes from not knowing what you want. A friend of mine taught me many years ago, he's a psychologist, he said whenever someone came to him who was having problems, instead of asking him about their problems, he would say, what are your goals? And he found that 80-90% of all the people he met who were unhappy had no goals. If you have goals and you're clear about them, you find yourself working on them every day, so you're just too busy to be unhappy. And so he said the starting point is to start setting goals. So we say be very, very clear about your goals. And the first exercise I teach people, and I do this when I do strategic planning for corporations, and I've worked with many billion-dollar corporations, and I sit down there, presidents and senior directors, and I say, let's engage in a 5-year fantasy exercise. Let's imagine that this company is perfect in 5 years. Describe to me what it would look like if this company were perfect. And we write it down. Size, sales, profitability, reputation, quality of products, size of the market, internal qualities of the organization, and so on. And we write them all down, and then we organize them. We say, of all of these, what would be most important? What would be second most important? And in a very short period of time, clarity becomes incredible. People say, yes, that's achievable. We could do that. We could accomplish that. We could be this. It's the most amazing darn thing. And then we start saying, okay, now, how? And this is the great question of high-achieving men and women. Is high-achieving men and women once they know what they want, they just simply say, how? Not whether. The question of whether or not it's possible is taken off the table. The answer is, how? How do we get from where we are to where we want to go? How do we achieve it? So the starting point is to project 5 years out as a person and say, if my life were perfect in 5 years, what would it look like? What would I be doing? Who would I be with? Who would I no longer be with? What would I be doing more of? What would I be doing less of? How much would I weigh? What kind of health would I have? What kind of activities? What kind of money would I be earning? What kind of home would I live in? What kind of lifestyle? Very, very important. And so you ask yourself 5 years out if my life were perfect, which is far enough out so that you can fantasize a little bit. And then you come right back to the present and you say, what would I have to do today to start moving in that direction? What are the specific steps that I would have to take? And then you begin thinking, well, if I wanted to get there, I'd have to do this, I'd have to do that, and so on. Now, the next exercise is very simple. Take a sheet of paper and write down 10 things that you would like to accomplish in the next 12 months. This exercise is the best exercise I've ever seen. I've taught it to thousands of people. I gave a talk yesterday to 13,000 people in Dallas. And I asked them, how many people in this audience have done this exercise before? They've been to my seminars before. Hundreds of people throughout the audience had raised their hands. And I said, does it work? And they all said, yes. I mean, they were shaking their hands and they were cheering. They said, absolutely. So here's the exercise. You take a sheet of paper, you write the word goals at the top and today's date, and then you write down a minimum of 10. I sometimes write 20 or 30, but you write down a minimum of 10 goals in the present tense as though you had already accomplished them. And every goal starts with the word I. So it's I earn $50,000 a year. I weigh 165 pounds and enjoy superb physical fitness. I am in the top 10% of my field. I drive a brand new Mercedes-Benz. I live in a 3,500-square-foot custom-designed home. Whatever your goals are, just write them down in the present tense, first person, as though you'd already achieved them. This is how they're programmed into your subconscious mind. Then the next thing you do, you look over these goals and you ask yourself this question. This is the turning point in your life. Which one goal on this list, if I achieved it, would have the greatest positive impact on my future? And you go over the list, and you could imagine just for a moment that you must delete all goals but one. But one goal is absolutely guaranteed. If you can pick one goal from this list, you can have it. You can hand it in, and you'll get it back. So you pick the one goal that can help you the very most. Here's the formula that we use. You write the goal on a separate sheet of paper, and then you set a deadline. I will achieve this goal in such and such a time. And you set a deadline. Then you make a list of everything that you can possibly think of that you could do to achieve the goal. And you keep adding to the list over time as you think of new things that you can do. And you keep adding to the list. And then once you have the list as complete as you can, you then organize the list and say, of all these things on this list, what do I need to do first? What do I need to do second and third and so on? And you also organize the list in terms of what needs to be done before something else. So in other words, to do B, I have to do A. To do D, I have to do C. And you will then find yourself with a plan. So now you have a goal, a deadline, and a plan. And here's the key. Take action on the plan immediately. This is the turning point in a person's life. This is the great dividing point between successful people and failures, is that many unsuccessful people will get this far. They'll write down their goals. They'll make their plans. They'll have great ideas. They'll even go through the goal-setting exercise. But then they delay. They procrastinate. They find reasons not to take action. So take action on your plan. Do something now. And then keep taking action on your plan over and over again. The rule from this point onward is do something every day that brings you and moves you in the direction of your goal. Do something every day.
That's excellent. I agree. That definitely brings clarity, putting a deadline on yourself, the goal, the plan. I mean, you basically have laid out the formula that everyone could use to achieve success. Now, what if it's not in their routine or their habits in order to do things like this and they come across resistance along the way?
Oh, that's a very good point because, yes, you will. As a matter of fact, you'll experience tremendous resistance when you begin to attempt to do something different. And this is normal. As a matter of fact, you should expect that in developing a new habit, your internal gyroscope will try to bring you back toward doing things the old way. My friend Ed Foreman many years ago had a wonderful little line. He said that good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with.
Yes.
And the rule, as you know, is that successful people have success habits, and unsuccessful people simply have not developed them yet. So therefore, the successful people will decide that this is the habit of behavior that I need. I need to get up at 6 o'clock every morning, and I need to plan my day in advance, and I need to set priorities on my activities, and then I need to take action and be in motion by 8 o'clock. And even if they don't feel like it, they do it over and over again until they have developed the habit of doing it. You can tell when you develop the habit because now you feel more uncomfortable not doing it than doing it. Now when you don't get up at 6 o'clock, you can't sleep. I mean, your mind won't let you sleep because you have now got the habit of high performance.
Exactly. I mean, I actually compare that to working out. When I first started working out years ago, it was misery in the beginning. I mean, always sore all the time, aching. It wasn't enjoyable. And I can't honestly say I really love going into the gym and working out all the time. But the fact is, if I don't do it and if I don't exercise, I feel worse than if I just do it. I mean, I actually feel like I'm missing a meal if I miss a workout because it's become such a habit.
Yes. And that is so important, is if you develop good habits, then you just function automatically with good habits. It's the most amazing thing. I sometimes joke, I've gotten into the habit of getting up early in the morning and exercising. And it's so important that you do this. Every single study shows that people who start off first thing in the morning are going to make it a habit. So I get myself up in the morning and I go swimming. And I sometimes joke that I have to grab myself by the neck and drag myself to the edge of the pool and throw myself in.
Yes.
And I look at the bed, you ought to lay in bed a little bit longer. But you've got to grab yourself physically and mentally and push yourself into the new behavior until finally it becomes a habit.
Right, I agree. So the bottom line is, anything worth achieving isn't always easy, and it is going to require exertion and effort, but the alternative, which you said earlier, is more painful than replacing bad habits with good habits and just heading in the right direction.
Yes, the rule is form good habits and make them your masters.
Okay, great. Now, I've got more questions about that, but I'll let you finish up on the four areas of goal setting when you first start talking about clarity and confidence.
So now you have complete clarity. Now, I will give you what I call a supercharger. And this supercharger is so powerful, it takes people from rags to riches. And I can tell you stories in my own life that are phenomenal. But there are virtually no exceptions to this supercharger. If you took this list of 10 goals that I told you to write out a couple of minutes ago, and you simply folded it up and put it away somewhere where you wouldn't see it for a year, someplace you never look. And a year from now, you go and take out the list, the most amazing thing will have happened. 8 of the 10 goals will have been achieved. It's the most amazing darn thing. So you take this list and put it away, and after 1 year without even looking at it, when you take it out, the goals will have been achieved. I was in Nashville recently, and a fellow who had been on my seminar 6 months before came to me and he said, you know, I've never seen an exercise like that. I was very skeptical when you said to write down 10 goals or more. So I wrote down 18 goals, and I took the list home, and I hid it so well that I couldn't find it again. He said, 2 weeks ago, I moved to a new house, and when I was unpacking, I found the list. And I started looking through the list, and he said, I had to sit down to read the list. He said, 11 of my 18 goals had been achieved in 5.5 months, and I had made progress on 5 of the others. He said, one of the goals was to earn more money, which I was. Another one was to get a better job, which I did, which is why I was earning more money. Another was to get a new car, which came with the job. Another was to get a new house, which I was moving into because I could qualify for it with a higher income. Another was to lose weight, change a relationship, learn a subject. He said, it's absolutely amazing. Writing it down once, 5.5 months later, I accomplished most of it. Now, I had another fellow in Houston who I gave this advice to at a seminar in Phoenix on a Saturday morning, and he was very skeptical. He said, oh, yeah, just motivational hype. But what the heck, on the plane ride back to Houston on Saturday afternoon, he took out his day planner. He wrote down 10 goals on the left-hand page. And the next evening, getting ready to plan his day, he took out his day planner and he glanced at the goals. He said he almost fell off his chair. 5 of his 10 goals had been accomplished in 24 hours. And they were one-year goals. And they were big goals, he said. Family goals, health goals, money goals, business goals. He said it was absolutely astonishing how the clarity of decision had led to achieving goals that he had really not thought achievable for a year.
And he did this in a 24-hour period?
In 24 hours. And he quickly wrote a new list of 5 more goals, so he had his list of 10. He called my office on Thursday from Houston, like a kid's first Christmas. He was so excited. He said, I've got to tell you, he said, I've accomplished 5 more of my new list of 10. He said, I was skeptical, he said, but I've accomplished more in a week with written goals than I really expected to accomplish in a whole year of hard work. If I can take the rest of this interview and tell you more stories, I can just say this. A fellow ran up to me in the Atlanta airport not long ago, and he said, I was in your audience in Champaign, Illinois, when you gave that goal-setting exercise. Do you remember? I remember the talk. There were 9,000 people in the audience, and I had 50 minutes to speak. In the middle of the 50 minutes, I gave this exercise, write down 10 goals. He said, I was skeptical. The people with me were skeptical. He said, but we all did it. He said, I have tripled my income in less than 6 months. He said, and both of the people who are with me have doubled their incomes. He said, it is the most astonishing exercise. Now, here's the way you supercharge with this exercise. If you just wrote your goals down once, it would have an enormous impact. But if you write and rewrite your goals every day, what will happen to your life will be nothing short of miraculous. And so what I do, and I have a spiral notebook in front of me, is every morning after my exercising and reading, I sit down and I write down my goals again in the present tense. I usually work on 10, and I just keep rewriting the same 10 goals over and over again. Now, some goals take a week, some take a month, some take a year, some take longer to achieve. But at a certain point, if you keep rewriting your goals, it's almost like pushing a dynamite detonator. Boom, the goal goes off, and you achieve it.
Yeah, I agree.
Most amazing darn thing. So this is the supercharge is very simple. Is get a spiral notebook, cost you $1.50, and every morning get up and write down today's date and write down your 10 major goals in life. And then go on with the rest of your life. And what you've done, you will have programmed them into your subconscious and into your superconscious mind. And what will start to happen in your life will be nothing short of miraculous.
Great advice. Now, is there any other things you want to talk about regarding the structure of goal setting?
Well, other than my reminder, which is to do something every day that moves you towards your major goal. Do something every day that moves you towards your major goal. I was in Minneapolis not long ago, and this fellow came up to me, and he told me he came from a farm family from a small town in Minnesota. And 9 years before, someone had brought him into Minneapolis, the big city, to one of my seminars. And he only remembered one thing. And it was write down your goals and do something every day to achieve them. He said he never heard that before, so he resolved that, by gum, he would do it. And he went back, and he said, I can quite proudly tell you, he said, that I have never missed a day in 9 years. Every single day, I have done something to move me toward whatever was my major goal at that time. He said, my income has increased 10 times. He said, I am the most successful person in all my family and probably the whole county. He said, I sit on bank boards, school boards, United Way. He said, I am one of the most successful people that have ever come out of our community, and I attribute it to being clear about my goals and doing something every day. So again, does it work? Well, what it costs you is a piece of paper and a pen and about 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, the question is, will you do it? That's the bottom line.
Right. And it works for everybody all over the world. I was in Vienna not long ago speaking to one of the biggest motivational seminars in the history of Austria. And a woman came up to me, and the Viennese tend to be very conservative. And she said, you know, I tried that goal-setting exercise. She said, I was very skeptical. She said, ich war sehr skeptisch. She said, I was very skeptical. She said, but I decided to do it because it was only a piece of paper. She said, I cannot tell you the miracles that have taken place in my life in the last year. My job has changed. My income has changed. My health, my relationships. She said, it's absolutely wonderful. So that's the first thing. Write down the 10 goals. And by the way, that's a test. People say, I want to be successful. I say, cool, okay, here's a piece of paper. Write down 10 goals. Well, I don't have time to do that. I mean, I'm really in a hurry. What I want is something other than that. I said, no. If you really want to be successful, here's the test. Write down 10 goals. Pick one. Make a plan to achieve it and work on it every day. That's telling me and the world that you want to be successful.
Yes.
If you're not willing to do that, then go back and work for wages because you have no future.
I agree. I completely agree. I mean, if people are not willing to do even that, the chances of success are pretty much slim to none.
The second C is what I call the C of competence. And I don't profess to be an expert because the more I learn, the more ignorant I feel. But I will say this, is that America is a meritocracy. It is the first meritocracy in the history of man. Now, there are many exceptions to it, but in the main, Americans are rewarded based on their ability to contribute something of value to other people. On their merit. Merit in America is the ability to contribute, which means that a minister who contributes to improving the souls and spirits of their people is making a contribution. And someone who, like Bill Gates, who contributes an operating system that enables people to get information and process information faster, also makes a contribution. But in our marketplace, we are rewarded based on our contribution. All of the problems that we have in America about discrimination and glass ceilings and everything else are all attempts by people to say, I want to be paid on the basis of how much I want to receive, not paid on the basis of how much I contribute. Because whatever you contribute, you get. So we say that the key to enjoying all the fruits that America has to offer, the greatest country in the history of the world, is just simply to become good at what you do. And there is no choice. There's no shortcut. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years to become good at what you do. By every step that you take toward becoming better at what you do, raises your self-esteem, your self-respect, and your sense of personal pride. So not only do you get rewarded when you get there, but you get rewarded every step of the way.
Let me ask you a question real quick in regards to that. I mean, nowadays, with the technology exploding the way that it is, people seem to want instant everything, including success, which you kind of mentioned earlier. How would you respond to this in people that just want things instantaneously?
Well, there's a story of an ex-con who had served many, many years in prison for theft. He was asked, why did you steal so much? And he said, well, I was after the easy money. And I said, well, what do you think about it? He said, easy money was the hardest money I ever got. He said, I gave my whole life for a little bit of easy money. And so the rule is this, is that the road to success is straight and true, but it is long and hard. And if you seek shortcuts, you will find that eventually you just have to go back to the main road and start over. So you find that all successful people are willing to put it in for a long, long time and just keep working and working and working. So what I say is this, is remember, this is the turning point in my life. The top 10% today, which you want to be one of if you want to enjoy the fruits of our society, everyone in the top 10% started in the bottom 10%, just like you. This was a shock to me. I was 28 years old when I realized that people who were doing better than me were not people who were better than me. And I say this over and over again. Nobody's better than you. Nobody's smarter than you. They just worked longer and harder in a particular direction. I was in Linz, Austria last year doing a talk. And that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger came from. And Schwarzenegger started off working in a little weightlifting gym in Linz. And he started off at the age of 15 as a skinny kid with a dream. And his dream was to travel and see the world. And he looked at all the different sports he could get into, and he settled on weightlifting because he saw that people could get into bodybuilding contests from all over the world without being able to speak the language. And others of his friends got into soccer and other sports, but those were team sports, and unless the team traveled, the player couldn't travel. So he went into bodybuilding. Well, I sometimes ask people in my audience, does Arnold Schwarzenegger, especially the males, does Arnold Schwarzenegger have a single muscle on his body that you don't have? And the answer is no. Each male has 610 muscles. And Arnold Schwarzenegger has the same 610 muscles. Sly Stallone, everybody else. What's the difference? Well, they've worked on their muscles. Now, is it possible for you to build your muscles so that they're enormous? Yes, of course. You have the same muscles. You could be just as fit as someone else. You may not be a world champion, but a person who started working out with weights within 3 years could be competing. And you can start after the age of 50. It's one of the sports where you can start any time in life.
Absolutely.
So here's the point, is that everybody has basically the same equipment. In terms of brain power, we all have pretty much the same brain power, but if you don't work out your mind, it becomes weak, like muscles that are not worked out. If you're not constantly reading and learning and growing and stretching your mind, then what happens is your mind just becomes soft, like muscles. So nobody's better than you, nobody's smarter than you. Everybody who's doing well today was once doing poorly. I say this, that everyone who is at the front of the line in life started at the back of the line. Everybody starts at the back of the line. And I was giving a seminar in Amsterdam recently, and we had talked about this analogy with about 300 people before the break, and it was lunch. And at the lunch break, I was sitting talking to my client, who is a woman, a very, very smart woman. And I said, what do you think so far? She said, this is very, very good material. It's very useful for people to hear this. And then we went downstairs, and it was a buffet lunch, and we ended up at the back of the line because we were the last ones there. And her assistant asked this question. It was a great question. She said, how did all those other people get into the line ahead of us? And my client, Natalie, said, they must have been hungrier than we were. And I thought, isn't that a beautiful summary?
Yes.
The reason people get to the front of the line is because they're hungrier than others. They want it more, and they are willing to work longer and harder to get there. But anybody can get into the line. You see, people say, well, you know, to get into the top 10%, that would take a week, a month, a year. It doesn't matter, because if you decide to get into the top 10% and you just set it as a goal and write it down and make a plan and work on it every single day, you will get into the top 10%, and nothing in the world can stop you.
What if you experience failure and adversity and frustration and things just don't seem to work out and you make mistakes and you're fearful and you feel embarrassed and all these other obstacles that could potentially face you in your journey towards success? How does one deal with that?
Well, I was on the stage yesterday with Troy Aikman, the Dallas Cowboys superstar, who had taken the Dallas Cowboys to 3 Super Bowl victories. Great quarterback, great throwing arm. And the first thing they asked him is, what have you learned in life? And the first thing he said was that everybody has problems and difficulties and setbacks and obstacles and disappointments. He had club feet. He struggled and struggled and struggled and got cut from teams all the way through his school years because he had club feet. But when the dust had settled, he had been able to compensate for it, and he was a winning Super Bowl quarterback. Everybody has problems. Everybody strikes out. Everybody fails. In fact, if you are trying hard enough, you're going to fail vastly more often than you succeed. And so, therefore, expect it. In psychology, and you know this, that in psychology, there's a thing called mental set. And mental set basically means your expectations about how things are supposed to work out. If you have a mental set, for instance, you go to a movie. Your mental set is, you read the advertisements, this is going to be a good movie. You sit there and it's not a good movie, and you are irritated. You're frustrated, you're unhappy, you complain. Sometimes you get your money back because you expected it to be a good movie. You get into a relationship, you expect it to be a good relationship. You make a sales call. If you're smart, you expect to do well. But your expectations will always be frustrated. And now you can respond one of two ways. You can weep and cry and complain and blame other people, or you can say, well, that's the way it goes. You win some and you lose some and get on with the rest of your life. Successful people expect to fail. Now, one of my favorite role models, which I pass on to the people who are listening, is Thomas Edison. And you've always heard Thomas Edison's story about 5,000 experiments with the filament for the electric light bulb, and they asked him why he continued to fail, and he said he had not failed. He'd successfully identified 5,000 ways that would not work. And he went on, and it was after 11,000 experiments that he finally found the tungsten-impregnated filament that led to the first electric light bulb.
Right.
So we think about that story, but that's not really the real story of Edison. Edison had a philosophy that made him the most prolific inventor of history. In 1931, 1/6 of Americans were working for Thomas Edison-developed companies or producing Thomas Edison-developed products. 1/6.
Wow.
It has never happened before or since in all of history.
That's amazing.
That one man could create employment for 1/6 of a nation. Now, how did this happen? Well, it was very simple. Thomas Edison would look at a field for many years. He watched electricity for 15, 20 years before he started to get into it. We watched the evolution and all the experimentation. He said, it's too soon. It's like the Internet. People have said for several years now that it's too soon. The Internet looks good, but it's too soon, and they're right. Now, however, the Internet has hit critical mass. Now, all the serious money, the General Electrics, the AT&Ts, the Warren Buffets, all the serious people are now going to the Internet because now it's ready. So that's what Edison would do. He would watch a field for several years. He would begin to gather information on it. He would prepare like an archer pulling back the arrow in the bow. And when he felt that the science was far enough, he would then dive in full blast with his research laboratories to get to the head of the line, to lead the parade. And then he had a rule. He said that once I had decided to invent something, he said it was inevitable. He said it was simply a matter of now eliminating the ways that would not work so that all that would be left is the way that would work. And in life, that is one of the greatest philosophies a human being can have, is that everything I do is part of a process of elimination. As I try it out, And if it doesn't work, that's just one more way that won't work. Now, here is the great insight. Edison gave a lot of thought to his failed experiments. He said, now, why didn't this work? And he would analyze it, and sometimes he would discuss it. And he kept very good notes. The first person to do that. He didn't just throw himself at experimentation like a dog going after a car. He would experiment and then take notes on what he had learned. So he didn't make the same false experiment twice. If he had made a mistake, he learned from it and went on. He didn't keep making the same mistake. Now, human beings are unsuccessful to the degree to which they keep making the same mistake. And they keep paying for the same lesson over again. And if you will learn, if you'll take the time to really learn from each situation, then what will happen is that you move forward at a more rapid rate than you can possibly imagine. So therefore, yes, of course, you're going to have all kinds of frustrations and failures. And what you do is you say, well, what can't be cured must be endured. That's the way life is, and learn from the mistake and get on with it.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't know anyone that is super successful that has not experienced massive amounts of disappointment and frustrations and failure and mistakes at various times in their life and along the way, including myself. But the bottom line is, if you're not willing to make the mistakes and have some failures, you're never going to achieve the success. So it's just part of the game.
You're absolutely right. There's a book by Isret Khan, who is a Sufi philosopher, and he makes this observation. He said, life is a continuous succession of problems. He said, they never end. They're like the waves of the ocean. They just simply keep coming in. Sometimes they're big waves, sometimes they're small waves. And there's a wonderful observation Og Mandino gave me. He said that if you're living a normal life, he said, your life will move in and out of crisis every 2 or 3 months. And that is a real good thought. If you're living a normal life, your life will move in and out of crisis every 2 or 3 months. And you will have a continuous succession of problems only broken by the occasional crisis. And so therefore, when you do have the crisis, you don't weep and cry. Epictetus, the Greek, the Stoic philosopher, said, circumstances do not make the man. They merely reveal him to himself. So the situation that you have does not make you. It just merely tells you how far you've come.
Yes.
And everything in life is a test. So when things go against you, look upon it as a test. And the test is, okay, smart guy, let's see what you're made of.
Right.
Let's see what you've got. Okay, let's see what you got. Get in there, ring. Let's see what you got. Well, life gives you the test, and you have to demonstrate how far you've come. Now, if you just suck in your gut and keep on going, that's fine. If you weep and cry and blame and complain and make excuses and criticize other people, well, that tells you how far you've come. Now, with regard to competence, the key to competence is continuous learning. So if competence is the building, continuous learning is the foundation. And continuous learning means that you read every day, you listen to audio programs in your car every day, and you take all the training you can get. The highest paid Americans take in information for 2 or 3 hours every day. 2 or 3 hours of every day is basically down-dumping information. And it may be information from the Wall Street Journal, it may be information from books, tapes, courses, newsletters, meetings, sessions, but they spend 2 to 3 hours taking in new information. If you're not doing that, you have no future. The reason is because we live in a competitive society. And if you want to enjoy the rewards that the most successful people enjoy, you must be working at the same level that they're working at. The good news is that if you do continue to take in information and continue to learn every single day, then soon you will get those rewards as sure as God made little green apples. So the key to competence is to decide to join the top 10% in your field. Now, here is the key question with competence before I leave it. It's probably one of the most important questions I've learned in my whole life, and it is this. Take your major goal and ask yourself what one skill, if you developed it and did it at an excellent level, would have the greatest positive impact on achieving your major goal. And whatever that one skill is, write it down, make a plan, and work on it every day. That will do more to change your life than you can possibly imagine. So if you just combine what we've talked about up to now, clarity, which means know where you want to be in 5 years, bring it back to the present, write down 10 goals, pick your major goal, make a plan and work on it every day. Competence means join the top 10%. Resolve to be one of the very best people in your field. Write it down, set it as a goal, work on it every day. The key to competence is to identify a single skill that will help you more than anything else and work on that every day. You see, these are success principles, and they're not complicated, but they work at a rate that you cannot believe. And, of course, continuous learning. Never stop getting better. Now, this brings us to the last two C's. The second to the last C is the C of constraints. And the C of constraints is built on a body of management theory called the theory of constraints. And it says this. It says between you and what you want to accomplish or be, there is a bottleneck. There is a limiting step, a limiting factor, a limiting skill. Maybe it's a limiting personality quality. Maybe it's the quality of self-discipline. Maybe it's the quality of good time management. Maybe it's the quality of prospecting and selling. Maybe it's the quality of personal relations in business. Maybe it's the quality of closing. But between where you are and where you want to go, there's always a bottleneck that sets the speed at which you achieve your goal. So you continually ask yourself, what sets the speed at which I get from where I am to where I want to go? What sets the speed at which I achieve my goals? What's determining the speed for me? And you keep asking yourself this question, and then you focus in on it with all of your energy and all the intensity that you have on the one thing that if you can alleviate this bottleneck, if you can open up this bottleneck or this constraint, it'll move you faster towards your goals than anything else. And every person knows almost automatically what it is. But my rule is that the 80-20 rule applies to constraints, is that 80% of the limits on you achieving your goals are internal. They're inside you. If it's a business, 80% of the limits are inside the company. And then if you go a little bit further, 80% of the limits are inside certain people inside the company. Only 20% are on the outside. Only 20% of your problems are external. Now, what's the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people? Is successful people always look within. Unsuccessful people always blame without. Successful people always say, what is it in me that sets the speed at which I achieve my goal? What is it within us? Unsuccessful people are always blaming their problems on other people and other situations.
I totally agree. I mean, unsuccessful people, it's always external. Rarely do they look at the internal. And if people would just realize that they are the creator of everything that they have and everything that happens to them, they would lead much more balanced lives and much more enjoyment and achieve a lot more successes. Because the only one that they would have to look for responsibility is yourself. I mean, you were on a program with at Results 2000 that I saw you at, and Naomi Judd was there. And she made a comment which I really loved, which was, the best place to find a helping hand is at the end of your arm.
There's a perverse thing in life, too, by the way, is the more you look to yourself for your solutions, the more people will line up to help you. The more that you try to get other people to do it for you, the more that they will flee from you. And in the Gallup study of successful people, they found that one of the five qualities of the most successful and respected of all people, men and women, is the quality of self-reliance. Is they look to themselves for the answers. They don't look to other people. They look to themselves, which
yes.
means they take on a very high level of personal responsibility before anything else. And as a result, everybody wants to be associated with them and to help them. The final C in our discussion is the C of concentration. Now, I believe that there are some qualities that are very important for success, and there are one or two qualities that are absolutely essential. And the two qualities that are essential are clarity and concentration. Knowing exactly what you want, and then having the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on the most important thing you could possibly be doing at any given moment, and staying with it until it's done. In fact, all great men and women throughout history, and I have studied biographies and autobiographies going back to several hundred years before Christ, all the great achievers have been able to concentrate their resources in a single direction, on a single task, on a single activity that was the most important, and stay with it till it was done. So if you have that ability, you can conquer the world. If you have that ability, you must and will ultimately rise to the top of any organization of value. If you have that ability, you'll be a great success. If you cannot concentrate, then you must realize that it is a discipline that you can learn. Anybody can learn to concentrate by practice and discipline. But if you can do it, and when you can do it, you can pick the most important task that will help you to achieve your most important goal. You can pick the most important skill that you can develop to accomplish the most important thing in your life. You can pick the most important constraint to focus on, to alleviate, to move faster towards your goal. When you can concentrate, you can conquer the world.
How do you personally develop your focus muscles so you can concentrate at very high levels of thinking?
Well, I have a very simple method, and by the way, this is a very hard thing for all of us to do because we are bombarded and surrounded by 1,000 conflicting messages. So therefore, it's very easy to get off track. So what I do is every day I start off my day with a list of the things that I have to do that day. The best is to write the list the night before. And then that day, start off with the most important thing on your list and stay with it until it's done. There may be other success principles, but this has made more people rich and successful than any other single time management principle in history, which is to make a list of everything you have to do before you begin. Go through the list and select the most important thing, the one that can make the greatest difference, and start on it first thing in the morning and stay with it till it's done. If you'll do that, eventually you'll develop the habit of concentrating like a laser beam, and you will be able to focus all of your mental energies on that one thing each time that will make the greatest difference. And it gets easier and easier. It's never easy, but it does get easier over time.
Right. Any more comments on the four C's?
No, those are the big four. Those four are enough in and of themselves to make anyone successful.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing those. Now, should you share your goals with other people or keep them to yourself?
The only people you should discuss your goals with are people who are helping you to achieve them, people who want you to achieve them, and people who have goals of their own. The big mistake that people make is they share their goals with anybody. And what that does is it just sort of, it's like dispersing all your energy. So keep your goals inside yourself and only discuss them with people whose help and support you can count on. Other than that, just keep them a secret.
Okay, excellent. Now, it is often said that you should set at least one goal which transcends your lifetime. And I wanted to ask you, Brian, if you have such a goal, and are you willing to actually share that goal with us?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I tend to be very focused in the moment. I have so many things I'm working on. I tend to focus very, very intensely in the moment. But if I had a legacy goal, if you like, the legacy goal is that I would like to leave a body of knowledge and ideas on success that is timeless, that people could come into and dramatically change and improve their lives. And as a result, it would leave a string of people who enjoy great success and happiness as a result of this body of knowledge. So that's the legacy that I would like to leave. And if there was something in addition to that, is someday down the road, when people meet my children, and I have four children, I would like them to say, you know, your father had a great and wonderful influence on my life.
Right.
That's what I would like them to say to my children.
Yes, I imagine any person could understand how fulfilling that would actually be. So talking about that particular subject, leaving a body of work, you are one of the world's greatest developers of personal achievement, success programs. You speak to over 400,000 people a year. I mean, you really understand what it takes to help people become more successful, and you're a great educator. What do you think the future is of personal development with all the technologies and everything that's coming into the world?
I believe that personal development is on the verge of the greatest explosion in all of human history. For many years, and still today, there are people who think of personal development sort of like strange diets. But everybody who is getting involved in personal development is becoming more and more excited about their own potential. And we are living in an age where the development of individual potential is becoming the greatest single concern of the average person. I just came back from New York, where I spent several hours of discussion with several major financiers, some of the biggest financiers and companies in America today. And they have all accepted that the desire, the need, the appetite for personal development ideas, methods, tapes, courses, books, and everything else is at the same takeoff stage as the Internet. It is literally about to go ballistic and proliferate. One organization I'm working with is working to put hundreds and thousands of personal development messages onto an Internet site and put them on in 5 languages simultaneously so that these personal development concepts will be available worldwide, basically at the same time they're available in English. And millions and tens of millions of dollars are pouring into this. So yes, I think personal development is just about to explode like an atomic explosion for the rest of our lifetime.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So to all the listeners out there, what can they do and what would you recommend that they do in order to access all this information that is out there in such a way to where it doesn't overwhelm and confuse them, but they actually benefit greatly from it?
Well, the rule is trickle down. It's always trickle down. So what you do is you read a little bit each morning. You carry reading material with you. You read in the evening. You listen to audio programs in your car and when you're moving around. You take courses on a regular basis. You seek them out and you take courses that can help you. And you just become like a learning machine. If I had a dream with regard to continuous learning, which I believe is the most important key to success that exists, my dream would be that 5 years from now, when intelligent people like yourself and the people who listen to this tape, when intelligent people meet, they wouldn't say, "Hi, what do you think about the weather? Did you see the game?" No. What intelligent people would say is, "Hi, what are you studying now?" "Well, I'm working on Spanish. My goal is to be fluent in Spanish so that I can open up the Hispanic market for my industry." "What are you studying?" "Well, I'm working on internet sites because we're trying to work out connectivity so we can connect with all the internet sites in our business." "What are you working on?" "Well, I'm studying team building this year because I think team building is one of the great ways to get massive synergy in my company." But everybody talks about their subject. Everybody is studying and working on a subject. That's my dream 5 years from now, is that people don't waste their time with frivolous talk. They all talk about their subject because everybody is a lifelong student.
That's excellent. Well, you have developed an enormous body of work, and I haven't even touched on so many of the subjects that you're an expert in. Sales is one big one that I know the listeners of this interview definitely would benefit from, because all my Piranha members are huge into sales and marketing, and you've developed so much information about that. So what I'd like you to do now is, if you could, give a little bit of information to the listeners about how they can further their education in regards to what you've talked about today and some of the things that you would recommend that they partake in. And please give out your contact information so anybody that is interested can contact your office and get information.
Well, I would very much encourage people. There's two or three things that we offer. I do public seminars all over the country. But we have an entire library of audio and video learning programs that have literally taken people from rags to riches in sales, personal development, goal setting, time management, sales management, even professional speaking. And so if somebody would like some information on that, then I would ask them to call me at my number in San Diego and we'll send them a brochure. And I suggest that they get fully outfitted with audio learning programs and they turn their car into a learning machine and they listen all the time they're in motion. The second thing that we're doing, as you know, is we have an advanced coaching and mentoring program that we offer here in San Diego. We take about 40 or 50 people each quarter and we bring them here after an exhaustive pre-work and they come down to this session and for one solid day we work with them and other professionals to help them plan their lives and their work and everything that they're doing strategically so that they get vastly more done in a shorter period of time. And basically what we offer is what I call a double-double formula. Is you will learn over the course of this coaching program, you will learn how to double your income and you'll also learn how to cut your working time in half. So by doubling your income and cutting your working time in half, you'll accomplish vastly more than you're accomplishing today by learning how to get the very most out of yourself and your work. And if anybody would like information on that, we have an audio that explains the whole program, and we have a brochure. So call my number. My number is 619-481-2977. 619-481-2977. Now, the new area code is going to be 858. And sometimes you get in with the one area code, sometimes you get in with the other area code. So it would then be 858-481-2977. And just call and tell us what sort of information you'd like, information on our audio and video programs, or information on our coaching program, and we'll send it out to you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Brian. And what I would also recommend to the listeners are Brian's Thinking Big, The Keys to Personal Power and Maximum Performance, and also The Luck Factor, along with all your programs are great. I've seen you speak several times. Excellent stuff. And I just want to really say thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. To all the Piranha members out there and everyone listening to this interview, please let me know what you thought of this interview with Brian. Our phone number, recently we just changed our area code too, is area code 480 858-0008, and you can also check me out on the internet at www.joepolish.com. So again, thanks, Brian, so much, and to all the listeners, until next time, eat your competition alive. This is Joe Polish signing off.
Hello, this is Joe Polish. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview. I hope you found it very useful. Please give me your feedback on all of the interviews that you listen to. I'd love to hear your feedback so we can always deliver a great program for you. Our website is www.joepolish.com, and we also have a Joe Polish Recommends section, so you can take a lot of the ideas and concepts that you hear on my Genius Network interview series and apply them to your business and find vendors and resources. You can go to joepolish.com to find that information and click on the Joe Polish Recommends section. And also, if you'd like to find out about more interviews and invest in more useful Genius Network series interviews, go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks, and eat your competition alive.